from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right. Well, we are going to the phones right now, to the hotline, and talking to our good friend, baseball writer, John Parato. John, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you? If I can get my face in the pic, there we go. Okay.
I'm doing a lot better than the Pirates are, John. And if you had to put your finger on what's gone wrong here these last 2 weeks, where would you begin?
We only have 10 of them, so I don't know if I can put them all on or not. Basically, a bit of everything. You know, the bullpen has been the biggest issue, in my opinion, you know, blowing, games that the Pirates should have won. And then they haven't scored a lot of runs lately. And the starting pitching has been decent, but Mitch Keller's been bad his last two times out. So it's been pretty much a total group effort here during this 10-game losing streak.
Well, and I think that Joe and I have been kicking this around, and I'm going to get your opinion on it, because you've been around a long time. You've been around this organization a long time. You've been around baseball a long time. If you were Bob Nutting, if you were Bob Nutting, would you give Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton one more season to get this right, number one? And number two, what do you think Bob Nutting will actually do in that regard?
Well, what I would do is I would give Cherington and Shelton the rest of this season. I wouldn't be rash and fire them right now after a 10-game losing streak. But I definitely want to see progress these last 6 weeks of the season. I mean, if this continues, I mean, obviously they're going to win a game again at some point. But if they really, really play bad, Paul, I think you have to definitely think about making a move. Do I think Nutting will do it? He's very, very conservative when it comes to these things. You remember he didn't fire Neil Huntington until a month after the 2019 season ends. So he's not one to do things rash. He's not a guy that likes change. He likes stability and continuity. And that's why I would not be surprised if Shelton and Cherington are back next year.
Well, I know that didn't they just sign Derek Shelton to – an extension? Was it this year when they announced it, or was it last year when they announced it?
It was last year and they announced it, and it ran through this season. We've never heard anything more about it, whether or not he signed through next season, or if his contract expires this season. We also don't know what what exactly Ben Charrington's contract situation either. The Pirates have become very mum on this matter, so we're all kind of, all meaning the guys around the Pirates that cover the team, are all kind of guessing right now as to, you know, exactly what the contract status are of both guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's incredible, you know, to me that Bob Nutting is people think that Bob Nutting is going to eat salary. He's not, right? It's just not how he does things.
No,
he's not gonna pay guys not to work. So that's just not how he does things. But how much do you blame Charrington? How much do you blame Shelton for? I mean, obviously Charrington put the team together, but it's up to Shelton to, you know, manage them up and coach them up and develop them. It's Shelton and his staff. I mean, how much blame do you put on each of these guys?
You know, I put some on Charrington, obviously. Some of the moves he made this winter didn't work out. And, you know, the trade deadline, trading for Brian De La Cruz, I don't think I'll be shouting Brian De La Cruz all-star in the press box this year. I mean, he was kind of limited at the deadline, like I wrote at the time. He really couldn't add any significant money, so he did what he could. He traded Martin Perez and used that money on Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and he got Brian De La Cruz on the cheap. He's only making $768,000 this year. This would be his first winter where he can be arbitration eligible. But I guess the thing that bothers me the most about Shelton is his, and I understand being loyal to your players, but he kept sticking with Colin Holderman when it was clear that Holderman had issues, whether it was injuries issues, confidence issues, control issues, and he cost him some games by sticking with Holderman. And the other thing that bothers me is it's disingenuous for him to say, we're playing pretty good baseball here. We're just not catching a break. And yeah, there's a couple games during this losing streak, the ball bounced the wrong way for them. But the Pirates never admit, they never come out and ever say, you know what, we're really playing bad baseball right now. They never, ever say it. There's always an excuse. There's always the sun will come up tomorrow and be brighter than ever. And I think that's what really gets under the fan's skin with Shelton is the fact that he never acknowledges that his team is playing poorly. He just won't do it.
Well, that was something we were talking about before. I think one of the things, John, that's frustrating, not only do the Padres, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks have better players than the Pirates, they play better baseball. I mean, you know, and the one thing the Pirates could control is playing better baseball. And even you know, guys that are limited. The question I have for you, John, if you remember, they went through the collapse of 2011 and 12. Then going into 13, they added Liriano, they added Burnett, they added Russell Martin. Next thing you know, the team is now got three guys that kind of led the way and taught them sort of how to win. Short of doing something like that this offseason, what is it going to – I mean, what is it that Pirate fans can point to say, well – they're going to be better next year because, I mean, I don't see how they can say that unless they add.
No, they do have to act. And I think, you know, what we found out in the last 2 weeks is this team has a long way to go. Well, I don't want to say a long way to go, that, but this team is not a playoff team. And I think everybody hoped that it would be because there's been so many bad years since 15, the last time they went to the playoffs. And I think everyone thought, well, it'll be fun to be playing meaningful games in August and September. And then when they had a chance, when they were in the thick of the race, only 2.5 games out of the wild card, they totally collapsed. And that, you know, they just have shown they're not a playoff caliber team. But the disappointing part to me is, like you said, Paul, they're not playing good baseball. They look like a last place team again. And I thought they'd made enough progress this season to where they would at least be decent. But now it's going to be almost impossible to have a winning season in the playoffs or certainly out the window at this point.
John Parrotto on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So one thing that I find troublesome with Shelty, John, is that he seems to really hang his hat often on "we play hard." We play hard. That's what I like best about these guys. We play hard. I'm not sure that that's true, honestly. And we had John Wehner on. He was on with the morning guys way back when the losing streak was only at 8. And this is what Johnny had to say about the whole effort thing.
I don't think there's any excuses for not running hard or playing hard. There's no excuses for not catching a ball that's thrown right at you. So whether there's pressure or no pressure, you know, it's baseball, and it's baseball at the highest level, and there are no excuses for not running hard. Whether you're winning 20 in a row or losing 20 in a row, whether there's pressure on you or there's no pressure on you, there's no excuses for that. I'm sorry. And
thoughts?
It's right on the money. There's no accountability. You know, they screw up. And everyone's going to make physical mistakes. I mean, that's part of it. But the mental errors and the lack of hustle, I mean, at least try. And I mean, I'm not saying everyone on that team is not hustling, but it, and I realize when you're losing, it's tough, and you know, you get down on things, but still, I the thing that bothers me the most is just the, as Paul said, just the bad baseball they play. And you know, to me, it's an indication of an organizational failure. It's just not at the big league level. And this has been going on seemingly forever. They bring guys up from the minor leagues, and they just look like they're not ready to play in the big leagues. And I think a lot of it, and I'm going to sound like a crotchety old man here when I say this, but I think there's some truth to what I'm going to say. I think their problem is they have too many data scientists, and they have too many physicists, and too many people like that in their farm system, to, you know, using numbers and things like that to teach how to play, and they don't have enough baseball people who know actually how to play the game of baseball to explain that it's more than exit velocity and spin rate and things like that, that you also have to have some common sense to be successful in baseball. And I think that's where the Pirates are lacking, like a lot of teams. It's just not the Pirates, it's epidemic, but it really shows with the Pirates. These guys don't have a lot of baseball sense that come up through their organization.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very fair point. We were talking about Charrington, and, you know, go back the last 5 years. What position players has he drafted and or brought into the organization and developed under his tutelage that have become really good players? I mean, the closest we can come to is Nick Gonzalez. And there's such a small sample size on him. I mean, I'd say the jury's out. So far, it's been okay. But that's in 5 years, that's not enough.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, and you go back to like Henry Davis, and I know we've beaten that through the ground. But here's a guy who was the number one overall pick in the draft. Okay, maybe he wasn't the best player in the draft, and maybe they were trying to get cute and sign him for less and be able to go sign other players in the later rounds for more money. But still, this guy was considered like a top five pick by all teams. It wasn't like this guy was supposed to go in the fourth round and went number one. And his development has just been not there. I mean, you look at it in the big leagues. I know he's tearing up AAA, but when he's been in the big leagues, he's looked totally overmatched. And you know, you just see that with everyone. And even Nick Gonzalez, as good a start as he's gotten off to, and, you know, he got off to, I should say, and he has shown the knack for driving in runs. But you look at his OPS and you look at his numbers before he got hurt for the last month or so, he wasn't playing all that well either.
Right. You're absolutely right. In fact, in July, I think his slash line was almost an embarrassment in many ways. Joe?
Oh, I thought it's Johnny depressing. Was going to jump in there. I'm sorry, Johnny. Oh, you look wonderful, by the way. Is that an Aliquippa shirt you have on today?
No, it's just a plain cheap T-shirt I bought.
Ron used to get
I didn't dress up, but I did shave.
Yeah,
I
knew something looked different, and he looked great. Ron used to get free gear from Mike Szymanczyk and people like that. Whether it was Aliquippa pullover, he had a bunch of things he used to wear, including a Sports Illustrated sweatshirt from 1973.
Oh, It's a throwback.
A little bit of a throwback. What do they do? We seem to have a discrepancy in here. Myself, Paul, Bob Pompiani, Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin, we all feel differently. Is Key Brian Hayes tradable? Would other teams want Key Brian Hayes? Could the Pirates get something for him?
I think at this point right now, if you traded Key Brian Hayes, you would just want to be looking at kind of hopefully somebody would take on the rest of his contract and you probably wouldn't get much back for him. If they wanted to get something back for him, and even then it wouldn't be like a top 100 prospect or anything like that, they would probably have to eat at least part of that contract. So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you talk about a sell low guy. That's about selling low as you can go right now with Key Brian Hayes. And, you know, you wonder what's going on there because, I mean, he's a better player than this. He's shown it. You know, is his back really bad? Is he playing through an injury? Is he just frustrated by the whole situation here in Pittsburgh and seeing, you know, that they, you know, really aren't getting that much better? Or I don't know. But to get back to your original question, I think the best you could hope for is somebody pick up that contract and then just move on from it.
Is he happy here?
You know, it's so hard to tell. I mean, he's just so even keeled that I don't, you know, it's hard to read when he's happy, when he's upset, when he's sad. I get the feeling he's not, though. I just the sense I get, you know, Key Brian's a good kid and he looks beaten down. Like, as Jason Schmidt used to say, he's got the bucko malaise. After you're here for a while, you just get the bucko malaise. And you come up to the big leagues or you get traded over, like in Jason Schmidt's case, when you're a young player and you think, oh, wow, this is great. You know, this is a new start. I'm in the big leagues. I'm excited. And you look around, you see other young players and think, wow, we could all grow together into a really good team. And then one day you wake up and you realize, like, it's just never going to happen. And I kind of think that's where Key Brian Hayes is right now in the is Jason. And I got to give Jason Schmidt credit for that one. That's not my line. The bucko malaise.
Yeah, the bucko malaise. Speaking of which...
I've got the bucko malaise.
Yeah, I've got the bucko malaise now too. Speaking of which,
God.
Are we going to see?
Better to laugh than cry, I suppose.
Yeah. the question that. Yeah, Dirtball Dan. What do you call him? Yeah. So, Dirtbag Dan. Yeah. Okay. Can I ask the question? Or are we going to continue just to play drops all day? Here we go. John.
Yes, Paul. I probably will not be able to concentrate on your question, but go ahead and ask it anyway.
Look into your crystal ball and tell me.
Okay. Let me grab it. It's right over here. All right.
Is O'Neill Cruz closer to the next Gregory Polanco or the next Andrew McCutchen?
He's so tantalizing because he's so talented. But he does remind me of Gregory Polanco. And just he just drives you nuts with the stuff he does. It's like it's like you watch him play and you think, well, he just must like started playing baseball like 2 days ago because he doesn't know what to do. And it's frustrating because the guy, I mean, he obviously has talent. And I know I make fun of these StatCast stats, but you look at him. He hits the ball as hard as anyone in the big leagues. He runs as fast as just about anybody. He throws the ball as hard as any position player. And yet he's got 23 errors, and you know he'll have one great at bat, and then two at bats where it looks like he's never been in the big leagues before. And you know, I don't think the young thing can be used as an excuse anymore. This is his ninth professional baseball season. I mean, he's been playing since he's 16 years old in pro ball, and at some point, it's either going to click or it's not going to click.
Paul, may I go around the diamond with Johnny for next year?
Yes, sir.
In fact, why don't we all play this game?
Okay, go ahead.
Johnny, would you like a group game here? I think this could be fun.
Sure, why not?
Have you ever met Dr. Dick from Duquesne, the sports marketing expert?
No, I haven't. I've heard of it.
What, John?
I'm familiar with the name, but I don't. I've never met him.
All right. Perhaps I could introduce you. That's beside the point. I'm going to go around the diamond next year. Everybody just say a name or two if you think it'll be a split position. You can answer with a name on the roster. You can say free agent, something like that, or a prospect, whoever you think is going to man this position. We're going to go around very quickly. It's going to go Paul, Johnny, City Limits, and me. Are we ready? Everybody ready?
Yes.
The starting catcher next year will be, Paul?
Joey Bart.
Johnny?
Andy Rodriguez.
Andy Rodriguez.
Joey Bart. The starting first baseman will be?
Andy Rodriguez.
Could Andy Rodriguez play two positions at once? Because I'd put him at first base. I would say it will be determined. Maybe Carlos Santana. Let's bring him back. He's had a pretty good year for the Twins. I'll say Carlos Santana.
I like that idea.
Not what I think they'll do, but what I want them to do, Henry Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Davis. The second baseman will be who, Paul?
Wow. Nick Gonzalez.
Johnny?
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Holy horse milk.
Nick Gonzalez. Yeah.
Nick Gonzalez. Anybody disagree that Cruz will be the shortstop?
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Wow. Third base, Key Brian Hayes. Anybody disagree?
Hayes.
And your starting outfield left to right, Paul, will be who?
Left field, Reynolds.
Yes.
Center field, How about O'Neill Cruz in center and De La Cruz in right?
Johnny?
Okay, I'll say Reynolds in left field, Harrison Bader in center field is a free agent who they should have signed last winter. And I think they'll give De La Cruz another shot. He won't make a whole lot of money next year. He'll be his first year's arbitration eligible. And I think De La Cruz will be the right fielder.
Limitless wonder.
Brian Reynolds will be in the left. Free agent will be in center field, whether it be a Tommy Pham or hopefully somebody better than that. And Brian De La Cruz in right field.
You guys ready for this? Brian Reynolds in left, Nick York in center, and new guy in right.
I forgot about Nick York.
Yeah, Nick York has been working in center field. And what about Ron's son, Billy Cook? Does he have a shot here, Johnny?
You know, I think so. I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't never really heard of the guy. I mean, the Orioles have a whole lot of prospects, and he kind of got buried in their system. But he's been impressive at Indy, and I'm kind of curious to see what he could do. And it looks like he could maybe help you at a couple different positions. So this might be a nice little under-the-radar pickup by Ben Charrington.
Well, two of your answers stood out there. Where is Joey Bart, and where is Nick Gonzalez for you?
Well, I think Gonzalez is a bench guy, and I think Bart is the number two catcher. But Bart, to me, is very valuable because who knows how Andy Rodriguez, if he has any bumps in the road on his, you know, in his first season back after having the Tommy John. So I definitely keep Bart as my number two. And I think in this day and age, it's not like when, like the Pirates had Jason Kendall when he caught 140 games and Keith Osick caught the other 20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much a timeshare for a lot of teams now. So when I say Andy Rodriguez is the starter, I mean, it could be a thing where Andy catches like 95 games and Joey Bart catches 65 games. So it wouldn't be a pure backup role where he'd only catch like once or you know, once or twice a month. I mean, he would certainly still be a key part of things.
Johnny, you're a wonderful man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And hopefully maybe the Buckles will at least have one win between now and next Thursday.
Let's hope. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Quiz show coming up, top of the hour, and then a very interesting guest, Paul Ian O'Connor, who just wrote a book about Aaron Rodgers, who never fails to fascinate. He'll join us at 1:40. First, the stat I told you about, I was watching ESPN on the way out the door this morning. The two losingest quarterbacks in the NFL over the past two seasons. Would you care to hazard a guess as to who they are, either one of you?
Kyler Murray, one of them?
Nope. Paul?
Mac Jones?
Nope.
Mac Jones?
Nope. One guy has 20 losses, the other guy has 19.
Russell Wilson.
He's the guy with 19.
Ugh. Justin Fields.
He's the guy with 20. The two losingest quarterbacks over the last 2 years in the NFL. This is incredulent.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it might not mean anything now that they're here, but it's just, that's what I said on my
that's
way out the door.
That's incredible if you think about it.
I know. I said, wow. Now listen to this, Paulie Pavilion. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Limits got in my ear a couple minutes ago and said they're talking about a 6-inning minimum for starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, how dumb is that, huh?
And he said it was on CBS Sports.
How dumb is that?
And I'm like, you're kidding. That's a fake story. Now I see on ESPN a giant blowout story. Could 6-inning minimum starting pitcher rule come to Major League Baseball? They want starting pitchers to spend more time on the mound, it says, pitching deeper into games and less time in the operating room. They feel like this will force them to become actual pitchers more and just, you know, pumping the gas less and ruining their arms. But they also want more hitting. Now, there's a couple of caveats here. Like, this is serious. Someone from MLB, an MLB official, told ESPN, "We are interested in increasing the amount of action in the game, restoring the prominence of the starting pitcher, and reducing the prevalence of pitching injuries. This might be their big idea," with a couple of caveats. You obviously just can't leave a guy out there if he's throwing 150 pitches. So 100 pitches, you can still come out after 100 pitches. You give up 4 or more earned runs, or obviously you get injured. Paul, with the caveats, I'm not sure I hate this. I'm not sure I hate it.
Well, again, it's unenforceable. That's the problem.
You mean because they can fake an injury?
They can. How can you tell? I mean, that I think the other thing is, how can you tell the Pirates, well, you got to keep Paul Skenes in two more innings?
What if with, and here it is, he gets injured with a required injured list stint to avoid manipulation?
Ooh.
They thought what you thought of, Paul, and they're a step ahead of you.
So if a guy gets fatigued or arm or a little bit, his arm is sore, you'd rather him pitch through that?
No. But if you take him out, he's got to go on the IL.
Yeah, it's stupid.
So no Jared Jones, five innings, 59 pitches type of games.
This is stupid. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I like it.
This is dumber than anything I think I've ever heard from baseball.
I like it. And baseball, by the way, for as much as I don't really like Rob Manfred as a personality, his public personality, he has revolutionized the game of baseball. People are home by 9 o'clock from Pirate games. I tune into a baseball game. It's over. You know, 10 seconds after, it's very watchable, very much more watchable. He has revolutionized the game with the pitch clock. There's no doubt. So I'm willing to listen to anything he wants to do. I don't love the Ghost Runner, but I don't hate it either. That speeds up the game. It adds a little strategy. The three batter minimum with relievers, people thought that was stupid. I don't mind this at all. You're going to be a starting pitcher. You're going to go. And you're going to go. Unless you get to 100 pitchers or give up 4 earned runs and you want to fake an injury, you got to go on the IL. Paul, I want to change your mind on this.
No, I don't like it. I don't like any of these rules that are just let coaches coach and managers manage and move on.
Well,
I would love to see pitchers go 6-7 innings again. But again, so what are the caveats? Is there a caveat there? What if the guy blows up like the Buffalo Bills in a Super Bowl?
Four or more earned runs, you can take him out.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about here?
4 or more earned runs.
Right, but what are we talking about here?
4 or more earned runs.
I would love to know.
Just putting a lot more rules in the game. You know, like, and a lot more caveats.
The game is getting ruined by nobody hitting anymore. It's like the lowest batting average in the history of baseball. This is what they did with the shifts, too. Did you guys like that rule? I like that rule. They tried, at least.
Yeah, the shifts, I think.
Do you hate this too?
I don't hate it. I don't necessarily like it that much. I wouldn't be completely opposed to it because the Jared Jones thing that we saw earlier this year. I mean, I would be okay. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring the starting pitcher back into baseball, and they're trying to eliminate openers in bullpen games and all that, which I get it and I like.
Here. I think limits the actual overriding rationale is that these guys are going to be forced to actually pitch and not just gun, you know, try to go for 100 miles an hour as close as they can get on every single pitch. That you're going to force them to pitch and therefore maybe preserve them in the end.
That's a possibility. And it says in part of this story that they feel like that this, according to the MLB official, would help prevent it, well, not prevent injuries, but reduce the prevalence of pitching injuries. It says in the stories, the prevalence of injuries. Yeah. Thank you. So if they can prove that that's the case, okay, I'll stand by it and go with it because I do think that the starting pitcher is very important and has been decreased in importance over the last couple of years. If they can actually bring it back and I think the Ghost Runner rule is stupid, but all the other Manfred things seem to be working out pretty well, as much as I don't like the guy, then I would be okay with giving this a try for one season, not as like we're implementing it right now and it has to be the case.
Paul, would you try it for one season?
I would try it in AAA for one season. How about that?
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.